Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.
We're continuing our series of reflections on Franciscan spirituality here. And in our last reflection, we spoke of how St. Francis embraced as his rule of life, the Holy Gospel, without compromise. Today, we'll continue to look more at his relationship with sacred scripture and how he put it into action. I mentioned last time how the evangelical form of life, the gospel form of life, was really the only guiding principle of St. Francis and his followers. Father Ciccarelli, in his book on Franciscan spirituality, points out that St. Francis didn't just want to take the gospel as his form of life. He wanted to take it integrally, simply, and without accommodations. He notes that St. Francis didn't use the gospel to attack the corrupt clerics of his time as the heretics of his time did, throwing charity and respect for the church out of the window with their condemnations. Francis also didn't make the ascetical practices found in the gospel even more difficult than they were either. So there was a wisdom and actually a virtuous balance in his approach to living out the life of our Lord. That being said, Francis truly embraced everything he found in the Gospels, and he embraced it with everything he had. It's one of the big differences between him and us, right? He gave his whole heart and his whole soul to the Lord. We just give part of our hearts to him, usually. So we should ask Our Lady every day for the help to learn us to do the same thing, help us to learn to give our whole heart and our whole soul to the Lord, just like St. Francis. Francis embraced the absolute poverty of Bethlehem, of Jesus' public life, of life of the cross as well, too. He loved poverty without being envious or venomous towards the rich. Francis embraced humility, placing himself under everyone as their servant. He embraced an exquisite charity, which, for example, converted a leper who was blaspheming God, and also converted some unsuspecting thieves from the town of Monte Casale in Italy. Francis also embraced chastity, a chastity which made him throw himself into the thorn bushes and into the snow, actually, to preserve it. He embraced an obedience which knew nothing of a spirit of rebellion and which condemned no one. He embraced a generous spirit of penance, which was tempered by a meekness that, in the end, actually led him to ask forgiveness of his body for having beaten it up so much during his life. Francis also embraced a simplicity which made him as candid as a child and a complete stranger to the schemes of men and of mere human prudence in dealing with things. He got all of that from the Gospels, that whole attitude towards life from the Gospels. Another notable characteristic about St. Francis and his relationship to the scriptures is that he listened and applied the gospel teachings immediately. He read the gospel with faith and with love, since he knew it was Jesus speaking to him in those pages. And what he read as though it was intended for him at that very moment. He welcomed Jesus' words and applied them to himself with the joy and the fervor of someone who was truly in love. The Gospels suggested to him absolute poverty, so Francis renounced everything in front of his earthly father, even his clothes. The Gospels spoke to him about denying himself in order to follow Jesus, and Francis, as we read in the legend of the three companions, immediately, quote, began to love that which he had previously abhorred and to abhor that which he previously loved, meaning the pleasures and the honors of the world. He found a great victory over himself when he got down once from his horse and he was riding, and he embraced and kissed a leper on the road for the love of God. The gospel spoke to Francis also about apostolic work, and he responded saying, "This is what I want, this is what I ask for, this is what I long for with all my heart." He abandoned all of his earthly possessions and pursuits, clothed himself in a poor tunic, girded himself with a rugged cord, and the gospel told him to not have two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff. We read that in Matthew 10:10. So he didn't. With bare feet, without a hat, and with an ardent heart he launched out into the world to preach the gospel of peace. And at Liverna, the gospel revealed to him the suffering and the love of Christ on Calvary, and Francis meditated on the Passion, desiring to experience in himself that which the suffering Redeemer experienced for love of us. So with St. Francis, inspiration and action, they're always inseparable. The two go together. He reads the scriptures, he puts into action what he reads, usually immediately. As a side note for those maybe younger people who might be tempted to act just like St. Francis did and impulsively embrace and live the gospel to the letter, we just suggest that you first talk to your pastor or spiritual director about that. Don't presume to have the grace of St. Francis to just start doing everything that he did. You don't necessarily have that same grace. Now, some people might feel called to that. If you do, then do your discernment with the church and through the church, just as St. Francis himself did. So Francis gets much of his inspiration from the Gospels themselves, but he doesn't just read or hear the Gospels. He draws from all the scriptures, really. Isaiah, prophet, suggests to him a maternal love for lepers, which he lives out. You see that in Isaiah 53, verse 4. David in the Psalms suggests to him the canticle of the Son to celebrate the Lord. A lot of that's from Psalm 138. From the book of Numbers, he adopts the patriarchal blessing, which he gives to Friar Leo, and he says, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he show his face to you and have mercy on you. May he turn his countenance towards you and give you his peace." That's the Franciscan blessing, but it's taken from Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26. King David in the Psalms also suggests to Francis the expression that he prefers when talking about himself, when referring to himself. When we read in the Psalms, quote, "I am a worm and no man," says King David, Psalm 22, verse 6. Francis applied that verse to himself. So Francis drew from all the sacred books. But again, it is especially from the Gospels and from St. Paul where he finds his niche. And we'll give just a few more examples of this before closing here. St. Francis borrows from St. Matthew the greeting, "Peace to this house," Matthew 10, 12. That's from the Gospel of Matthew. He takes to heart Jesus' word picture, his illustration of retiring to one's closet to pray, Matthew 6, verse 6. St. John the Evangelist shares with Francis the profound union with God in conformity to the suffering Christ, as well as a great love for the Eucharist, the bread of life descended from heaven, which we read all about in John chapter 6. St. Paul encourages Francis to embrace the folly of the cross, Galatians 6, 14. He teaches Francis that divine wisdom is also revealed to the simple, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27. And that's what the apostle to the Gentiles inspired St. Francis with, to Friar Maceo, and Friar Maceo came to St. Francis and he asked him, "Why is the whole world running after you? Why you? Why is everyone going after you?" Francis said, "God couldn't find on earth a more viler creature, and therefore he chose me. For God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the base things of this world and the despised to bring to naught the noble and the great and the strong." St. Francis is quoting from St. Paul there, 1 Corinthians 1, 27. St. Paul also suggested to him the position of being strangers and pilgrims on this earth, Hebrews 11, 13. And the Apostles' Hymn to Charity, 1 Corinthians 13, provides Francis with the model for his most original monologue on perfect joy, which is truly a classic, but we won't have time to share that today. These are just some of the concrete ways that we see Francis absorbing the sacred scripture, making it his, and putting into action everything that he reads in a way that was quite unique. Really unlike any other saint before him and probably ever since him as well. So let's ask Our Lady then that Francis's love for the written word of God would rub off on us and would also inform our lives in a fruitful and in a concrete Franciscan way. Praised be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. Amen.